Good morning once again. Welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Our scripture text is taken from the Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 1 in verse 68. Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. This is the beginning of Zacharias's great prophecy, celebrating the faithful and covenantal work of God on behalf of Israel, which at that time was finding its fulfillment in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, the Savior of Israel, even the world, who had just been conceived of the Virgin. That prophecy heralded the entrance of the King into the world, and it can well be correlated to the ministry of the son of Zacharias, John the Baptist, who would go before Jesus in the spirit and power of Elijah. This would herald the revelation of the person of the Messiah, Jesus, Son of God, King of Israel, God of the whole earth. Zacharias, whose tongue had just been loosed, continues in his prophecy and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So we have two points of application this morning, which arise, as is our custom, directly from our text. First, God has visited his people. And second, God has redeemed his people. This is probably the simplest 10-word Bible verse outline that you can find. May the Lord grant us as much clarity as God desires as we explain it and we apply it. First, that God has visited his people. The word of God provides a record of the Lord visiting his people throughout history. To free his people from oppression and to bring them into a place of peace. Now, God has done that physically as part of his redemptive plan to illustrate that which he also does spiritually. And we find a record of God visiting his people all the way back in the book of Genesis. When Joseph said to his brethren, "I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land of which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." And then Joseph took an oath from the children of Israel, saying, "God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here." God would visit his people when they found themselves in an unfriendly place, in a place of bondage, in the land of Egypt, to where God had first brought them to deliver them from the famine. And then in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 16, we read the Lord speaking to Moses, "Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, 'The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared to me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen what is done to you in Egypt.'" Now, not only does the God of all the earth visit men to relieve them of physical bondage, he also visits them to ensure that their daily needs are met, a fact to which we have already alluded. In the famine in the days of Ruth, we read that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Sufficient for the day, our God provides for the body, but what of the soul and of the spirit? You may have earthly freedom and earthly needs met, but what of spiritual freedom, spiritual needs? And what then when this frame in which you dwell is no more? When earth is no longer home, where will man have his home? He can do nothing to save his own soul. He is helpless. And the Lord saw the plight of his people. Therefore, 2,000 years ago, he paid us a visit. As it is written in Isaiah, "We all growl like bears and moan sadly like doves. We look for justice, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far from us." In other words, men look for answers on this earth, but no answer comes. For our problem is far greater than that which man can provide. For our transgressions are multiplied before God, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgression and lying against the Lord and departing from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. Justice is turned back, and righteousness stands afar off, for truth has fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. So truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. And the Lord sought, and it displeased him that there was no justice. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness, it sustained him. Where, friends, is the justice? How can we escape evil? Even our own sin and our own demons, the wretchedness of it all. And yet, our Lord proclaims that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, fulfilling the words of Isaiah, that his own arm brought salvation. So friends, God has visited his people. So celebrate and rejoice. Come to him. Come before him. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. We needn't wait until December 25th. Why not November 26th? On this very day in 1789, that was a good enough day for George Washington to make his Thanksgiving proclamation. And so it is good enough for me. Our lives are sometimes hard. Our days are few. But the Son of God visits us. As we read in David, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. Can you say that with the servant of the Lord? I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. So we rejoice with the certainty that the salvation that God accomplished for us through his Son is certain and as good as done. And that he who has begun a great work in you is faithful to complete it into the day of Christ Jesus. Amen. We are certain of these things because not only has God visited us, but the Lord has redeemed his people. This was not completed in history as Zacharias said it, but it was a foregone conclusion. And so, the man of God spoke and walked in faith. For we too walk by faith and not by sight. And if you will not exercise faith, then eternal peace will escape you. But if you will at least take God at his word and observe his redemptive work through history, you might find a little faith, and it will be a beginning and life to you. For the wages of sin is death, and we are all in the natural state of bondage to sin, and certain to experience its consequences. But this morning, every one of us may rejoice with Zacharias because he has not left you in such a state. Because we have a Redeemer who is mighty to save us from the power that sin wields over us and within us. And by what have we been redeemed? Peter tells us. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written? For your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we see, friends, since Jesus has redeemed us from the power of sin, we are free indeed as believers in him. Free from sin. Free from the fear of separation from God in this life and in the next. For the sin, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so, our God has visited us 2,000 years ago, and he has done all the work necessary for our redemption. And as sure as he has done that, the Son of God is coming for another visit to finalize the work. An encouragement for the Christian. For we read that as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. And so we are urged to look up. Lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. So you ready, friends? You ready for another Christmas? As many Christmases as the Lord gives you in your short stay here on earth? But will you be ready when Christ comes? When he comes to visit you? Friends, it is a frightful thing not to be ready. We read this not in the Old Testament, but in the New. For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, and I will repay," says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. God gives everyone fair warning. And I urge that all repent in preparation for the day that God comes to visit you. And it is not if, but when. It is not far, but near. It is not later, but soon. No one knows the day or the hour, so do not preoccupy yourself with specifics. There are God's visitations in history to all. And God comes in his own time, in the fullness of time, in the time which he knows and he has set. But friend, perhaps today, the Savior Jesus Christ wishes to visit you, just as he promised to do through Joseph. He visited the children of Israel, and he visited his people, Ruth among them. But this morning, as it was with Zacchaeus, let it be unto you. Make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. The God of the universe walked by and he saw one guy hanging up in a tree. And he said, I'm going to come visit you today. If he shows up at your door, are you ready? Will you let him in? Who knows what tomorrow may bring? It's become cliche. Christmas is coming. Well, so is the Lord. So is Jesus. And the Lord, I pray, will visit you today and throughout this season. But there's going to come a day when the Lord will come and visit you unto death, or unto a night season of tragedy, or even his return, if you're such of that generation. May he find himself already there when he shows up to visit you, even by your own welcome invitation. May he not have far to go. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your divine visitations. We thank you for how you have worked them out as a part of your redemptive plan. And we thank you, Lord, that you have grafted everyone who believes into that redemptive plan for good. May Christmas be a time of reflection upon the fact that you are a God who is near at hand and not afar off. A personal God who has dealt and does deal personally with us. A personal Savior who saves all of those who are of a broken and contrite spirit, who will admit themselves sinners in need of a Savior and receive you on the basis of the shed blood of the cross and in the hope of the resurrection. We are thankful this season for your glorious gospel. We are thankful for our salvation. And Lord, if there be any who have not received this or who could not say, that they would end up in heaven if the Lord came to visit their frame for the last time on earth today. May your Spirit do his work in this heart, that the sinner might receive your mercy and be visited unto salvation, even as you visit us in this place in prayer. May Christmas and the Christmas season be only the beginning for renewed revival within our hearts, within our spirit. Lord, bless every soul here in the remainder of our time, that we might continue to proclaim a song of ascents. As we receive you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.